Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. I am CDJ, joined again this evening by JB Huskers. JB, how are you?
Good. How's it going?
Good. It's been a while. I thought maybe you'd enter the transfer portal in the meantime. Tonight, we're going to focus on the transfer portal and how EA Sports might implement that into EA Sports College Football. JB, before we get to the game version of it, what do you think of the portal in real life? It's been around now for several years and has become really a key component of roster building in real life. What are your thoughts on it so far?
It's mixed. I think that it's being used by too many people, and a lot of people, a lot of players are not happy right away, so they got to leave, and it really doesn't do them any good. I mean, look at Luke McCaffrey from Nebraska even. I mean, upset at playing time, leaves, doesn't do anything after that. Didn't really help him. And that's going to be the same for a lot of cases. There's just way too many people that feel entitled that they have to be on the field right away. And maybe they don't deserve it because, as you see of a lot of results on the field, they didn't deserve it at the other school. And it's really not helped them.
And McCaffrey's an interesting example. He went to Louisville for basically a cup of tea, must have realized he wasn't going to be the starter at quarterback, went to Rice, got shifted to wide receiver, was their leading receiver against USC last weekend, but still at, two movements.
As a quarterback, he did nothing.
No, he should have just stayed, maybe stay at the first school. But I like the portal for its pure intention, which was if a guy's unhappy or doesn't fit, he has the opportunity to get out. What I don't like are a lot of the same points you brought up, where it seems like now guys who, if they don't get in the lineup in the year one or two, they're gone. They're not going to put in that time for year three or four. There's always rumors and speculation that these players are getting lured away. One example being Jordan Addison of Pitt last year, there were rumors and speculation that schools were talking to him before he had declared for the portal, kind of lured him out, where it was going to be going to Texas or USC. Picks USC, of course, as we know. So it's one of those that I like the idea of it. The implementation, I think, needs work, but I don't know how you put the genie back in the bottle at this point, where now when it's not, I want to say the Wild West, but it's one of those that how do you now go back and restrict that after it got so wide open?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be any way to restrict it or go back. And, you know, I guess it's not really ruining the game, so to speak, is just a lot of college players are making bad decisions because they have this option and feel like they're going to be able to do something. And in turn, it doesn't always work out that way.
Well, as someone who was in college previously, I can say we all make bad decisions. It doesn't matter if you're a student or in the portal or not. I think that's a universal thing in college.
All I got to say is thank God smartphones weren't around when we were in college.
That's a very good point.
And social media.
I think the kids these days don't know how good we had it compared to them in that regard. So tonight we're going to focus on the transfer portal in the video game world. How might it look? How might it work? And also, what are the concerns? Going through this, we have a pretty lengthy article on thegamingtailgate.com. I recommend everyone who's interested in this topic, go read that at some point. There's a lot of points. We won't get to all of them tonight because we feel like making this a half-hour show, not a five-hour show. So first things first, we always ask the community their thoughts on these issues first. If it was up to me, we would just spend a half hour giving all community thoughts straight off social media or the forums. So let's start with that. First off, Andrew at underrated 714, I think he's underrated as well. He says, as long as it's implemented to not feel like you wasted your time recruiting a player only for him to transfer. Realistic, yes, but fun for the end user, no. Roster sizes are going to need to be accurate to real life in order to combat the player turnover. I think he brings up a lot of excellent points. Those are points that were in the article, things we came up with by reading community feedback and just seeing the portal in action. Let's go through some of his points real quick here. Do you agree with him? And I understand his point completely. How frustrating is it going to be for a user to spend a lot of time recruiting a player to see him leave in the portal? I would say that's realistic, but I do agree with his point. Is that fun for the end user? No. JB, what do you think about that part of it?
It could get frustrating, but I don't know. It depends on how much is it going to happen. Is it going to be a guy that you really care about? Is it a three-star guy that you are burying in the depth chart anyways? Or is it a five-star guy that just wants to go for the hell of it? That's going to be the problem, is if you get a five-star guy that you played all year and he wants to go, that's another deal. But if there's some reasoning behind it, if there's smaller star guys that are going to be more likely to go than your five and four star recruits, you know, we'll probably get into it a little later. But I mean, there's just so many variables here that can get messed up. So that's definitely a thing to worry about.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. I think it's going to come down to something we'll talk about in a little bit, is how accurate to real life percentages will it be? Because if we have as many players or percentages leaving in the game as we do in real life, I think his point is entirely accurate, that it will become, may become not fun. There may be too much time in menus. There may be too much time trying to lure players to stay or to come, that maybe we, it loses sight of the ultimate goal of, you know, having fun playing a video game. And let's go to Hugh Tovall. His feedback, he says, definitely need to have pitches, interests, motivations, like in NCAA 14 and Madden 23. I agree with that. I know, unfortunately, with social media, it's tough to get in depth. The way I interpret his comment to mean is maybe these players who enter the portal have their own motivations for where they want to go and what they're looking for. Perhaps it's championship contender, proximity to home, things we saw, like he mentioned, in NCAA football 14 and Madden 23 in their free agency. What are some other things that might motivate or, you know, kind of push these players to where they want to go?
Hey, it's a brand new thing that we never have seen in NCAA since it's been so long since we have had a video game. But how about implementing NIL deals?
That's one of those that I know the communities are really going to want it. But until we get a standard across all 50 states, I don't know how that would work. But the game has to mention it in some regard. It can't, now whether it just says, hey, I'm picking your school because I like your NIL pitches, and whether you actually can physically do that. But I know that's one of those that it's going to have to be mentioned, but I don't know how you implement it. But the whole thing is one of those things that even with the portal, we don't know how in the heck are they going to do some of this.
You know, you've seen it in past NCAA games before and EA games. Mm-hmm. You know, they've always had fake brands. So you can just create fake brands and each brand has its own prestige. I mean, those are probably things that aren't going to be in the first game back in the system. Probably going to be a much more vanilla game. But even though it's going to probably be more of a vanilla game, it's going to be hard to ignore the transfer portal part of it, though. So,
yeah, I think the portal is something that has to be in year one. I know we talked in previous shows. I think the real life changes, custom conferences has to be in. And I think the portal is such a big thing in college football anymore. It has to be in year one. Anything beyond I'm not so sure about. But I think those things have to be in year one.
It's going to be a lot easier if they can implement or bring things over from Madden, or if they, you know, who knows how long they've been making this game. They've been able to have already been able to develop a system that works, because we don't know how long or when they started this. And we don't know how closely this ties into Madden. Obviously back in the day, they worked two completely separate entities and gameplay styles and engines and things like that. Today, I don't know how that's going to be. We don't know for sure. We haven't had any information on the game. So it's going to be interesting to see if they do pull in from Madden on some things like that.
Let's go to our first question of tonight. And that, again, a lot of this is hypothesizing just as fans and think about how the design element would be. And we're going to pull up the article from the Gaming Tailgate here. The big question, I think the first one, what will the transfer portal methodology be? And by that, what we mean is it going to be the same or different than whatever they use for recruiting? And I know it's tough because we have no clue where the direction it's going to go, but let's just say for the sake of discussion and argument, let's say it's like NCAA 14 where you have a point system. Will the portal be a point system? Will it be that same portion of points? Will it be a different system? Just off the top of your head, JB, and I will tell you, when I thought about this a few months ago, my very initial thought was, oh, it'll probably just be a mini version of recruiting. And then I started thinking about it. I said, no, it needs to be something different. I don't think people will want it to be recruiting in just an extra week of recruiting. The portal has to be its own beast because that's what it is in real life. But then the more I thought about it again, it shifted to, well, how can you take this portal, which is, you know, relatively short in real life, season ends, especially with these new windows that are getting put in place. It's going to be the season ends. You have, you know, maybe several weeks to get a player. How do you do that in the game when recruiting is a year-long cycle and you can do that in a couple of hours? So how do you do a week-long thing in real life and condense it down to a video game? I mean, and I hope that makes sense the way I say that. I just don't know how they can do this. JB, what are some of your thoughts on the methodology? I'm so interested to see how they do this.
Well, I think, you can always have it the way that at least the way Madden's built. You do it like a draft. You know, you can have its own week before you advance. Especially in online dynasties, you have it as its own entity. You could pull probably from the old NCAA game. The old NCAA game had its own transfer window system and program that was all a part of the offseason. And that was its own week on online dynasties as well. You had to mess with that before you went ready to advance. So I think it's going to be similar to what we had with the transfer system on the old NCAA games, but obviously – a lot more in-depth and a lot more features to it because the transfer portal is so much more complicated compared to what we had, where we would just promise them something and they would decide if they were going to stay or go.
Yeah, of course, the transfers in the old version, they just would randomly show up. You know, you didn't know who they were, and a lot of them you didn't want. It was very rare to see or hear somebody like in the forums, for example, say, hey, I got this pretty good quarterback who came in. I remember I would usually get a pretty poorly rated tight end if I was lucky, or a fullback.
I'd usually lose better than get better.
Yeah, it would be somebody that I would cut, you know, later on. I would never use them. I mean, maybe it's a short couple week thing like the free agency in Madden, but then that goes to the concern of you don't want people to feel like they're spending more time in menus than in games. And I know there are a lot of fans who love recruiting. I'm one of them, but I also don't want this to turn into a burden or a task that it becomes such a long period between games, especially in the off season.
Yeah. And you know, we always had in the online dynasties, we always had deadlines and things like that. So obviously close knit groups or groups that have good communication are going to have that. It's not going to be a big deal. It may be cumbersome for some people that are just randoms that have no communication at all outside of the game. And they're just jumping into a random online dynasty. That could be a drag, but at the same time, you know, I think the people that want it are going to be the ones that play the dynasties for that. Mm-hmm. And the ones that don't are going to be doing all the play now stuff. So I think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be something that, you know, especially like with Madden, a lot of people look forward to the free agents just because it's a break in the monotony of recruit game or scout game. In the terms of Madden. So it's a good way to break it up, especially when it comes to free agency and the draft.
Here's one question that I had, and I don't know that we already know the answer. I'm interested to see what EA does with it. Should there be a way to see unhappy players before they enter the portal? In the past, some sports games like MVP Baseball had this where you could see player morale. So yeah. You knew to give them playing time or do something to make them happier. Off the top of your head, JB, would you like to see that? Or do you think it's not necessary? I'll give you a counterpoint, but I want to hear your argument or your thought on should be able to see that.
Well, I think right away, yeah, because it's already in Madden. So it's something they could probably pull over from Madden and implement to and adjust to the transfer portal way of things rather than the free agent way of things. I mean, in essence, when you look at it, it's the same thing, same type of system. You're trying to talk the other player into it. So, you know, I don't know how many people are going to keep an eye out on every individual player to see this, but maybe if they give you some sort of a pop-up on the menu, you know, check player morale or something like that, much like you do in Madden with your list of tasks of things to do, such as scouting and doing the weekly game plan. And when it comes to the week to sign a certain free agent coming up, you know, those all pop up in the main screen. So maybe this is something they can add to pop up in the main screen to check if things kind of are getting bad for certain players.
I think from a game design standpoint, it makes sense. You want the user to know that somebody on the team was unhappy so they can address it. So there's no confusion at the end of the year or frustration at the end of the year that a coveted player is leaving. I do think there's a counterpoint though, that in real life, generally you kind of have a feeling when a player is going to leave. For example, if a highly rated recruit doesn't get on the field in his first year or two, there's probably a good chance he's going to look at the portal. If a player is, you know, maybe away from home and the home state team has become good, maybe there's a chance he wants to leave. Player was a starter and gets benched, there's probably a chance he wants to go. I think a lot of examples, kind of just common sense, would tell you, okay, I've mistreated this guy. There's a chance at the end of the year he may leave the roster. So I see both sides of it. Part of me says, yeah, morale system would be great, or at least some indicator that they're unhappy. But then part of me says, a lot of times in real life, you know, though we did bring a couple of examples earlier, Jordan Addison was not a guy that at the end of the season we thought was unhappy. Caleb Williams, granted, it was a coach leaving, he followed the coach. But I think during the season last year, nobody thought he was unhappy at Oklahoma. At least I didn't, you know, living several states away, I didn't think he was an unhappy player. So it's one of those that, if that happened in the video game where the top rated receiver in the game or the best in the country, however you want to view Addison, if he leaves, I think the user's going to be pretty frustrated. Same with Oklahoma. If the, you know, quarterback leaves, the user's probably going to be unhappy. But in real life, those things happen.
Yeah. And I think it, you know, if you're a real gamer, you almost kind of want those challenges. Then you get, you go, okay, well now I know my direction in recruiting, and it's a challenge to just replace that guy then. And so I think people that are playing the dynasty to play the dynasty are going to want those type of situations, so they can have that sort of challenge, to be honest. And I think that those that go that in depth and do a dynasty, and don't just do play nows or play online, is, I think it's going to be something they want.
I think a lot of guys like in our community would like it that way, because they always are the ones looking for a challenge, the ones who make up their own death penalty, you know, dynasty. They want their roster gutted. They want the challenge. So I can see guys like in our group, you know, our subgroup or community, who would like it that way. But I can understand a lot of casual people who would might be turned off or frustrated. But maybe I'm selling those people short. Maybe they would understand it and get it, and maybe they wouldn't want something like this either. But like I said, it comes down to, I'm interested to see how EA does it in year one, how in depth they get with some of this.
Well, if you don't like it, you could probably turn it off.
That's or just play your top players, put it on easy. You won't care who you have for roster. Just just run, you know, put on a low level and dominate. Part of it in real life is the fun of seeing, you know, who's entering the portal. So one of the things we brought up in the article was, what way will there be to notify users of transfer portal additions or declarations? When the season ends, it's fun to see the players enter the portal. There are dedicated Twitter accounts that a lot of the recruiting sites have set up. You see the players who enter. And for the fans, it's fun because you get this breaking news aspect. You get to see their stats and think, okay, does this guy fit with my team? Especially if it's a position where your favorite team has a weakness and this player has entered the portal, it's fun to see if your team gets in on that chase, if they come for a visit, if they are able to land them. How does it, you know, what can they do? Can the game replicate that in some regards? You know, we mentioned maybe a potential in-game ticker, but now that we have these new transfer windows in place, there's no games being played for the most part when the players enter the portal. So I don't know how that would work. Does it show up in a menu pop-up, or just does the portal just happen and all you got to dig through a spreadsheet, basically? I don't know if that there's a clear-cut answer to this, but JB, is there any, how important is it for you? I think it's pretty important, but how important is you to see who's entered the portal and how can they make this fun?
Much like I said earlier, it's probably something you could put in on your dynamic main menu where check the transfer portal. And then you go into it and it's going to be built just like your recruiting screen. It's going to be the list of players, probably sorted by star rating, I would assume, maybe even overall. But, you know, it's going to, I think there's a lot of things, a lot of assets that you already have with the recruiting windows and the scouting window, like in Madden, a lot of those assets you can just reuse when it comes to the transfer portal popping up. And you just have that option. In Madden 23, they do a good job of putting the red dot next to things that need attention and you haven't gotten into yet. Now, because there's a, you know, there's a few menu options on that main screen that don't always have to have actions that you can go into. Mainly, I would say managing your roster and things like that. But if there is an upgrade for a coach that you can do, it's going to give you that red dot. So then you could do exact same system and pull up the transfer portal updates and have a red dot on it. So you know that you need to go into it and take a look and see if there's anybody that you want to pull in for your team.
I like that idea. And I think also I'd mentioned, yes, there'd be no in-game action to have the ticker, but the menu has a ticker. So you could have, so that would be one of your pop-ups saying, you know, here's at least the top rated players who entered the portal, just so you're aware. Like, so it is newsworthy and noteworthy when a Jordan Addison enters the portal, when a Caleb Williams enters the portal, when an O'Shawn Mathis enters the portal. So people realize and see those things and kind of make it dynamic and seem real. I'm always worried about the game just having too many spreadsheets, too many menus. So if you can kind of make it seem like real life and have this breaking news aspect, I think that helps break up the glut of going through spreadsheets and ratings. Going back to underrated in the community, his point, can transfer percentages match up in real life versus the game? I'm going to tell you right now, my guess answer is no, but I could be shocked or surprised. Of course, the big name players and recruits get all the headlines. The portal has a lot of people enter, and there's a lot of them who don't go and find new schools. Where do they typically go to? Rivals did the homework on this, and they found that 55 to 70% or so of Power 5 players found a new school. 20% went to a lower level. That tells you there's a lot that, I don't want to say disappear, but either they drop out, they don't play football anymore. Maybe they realize school wasn't for them. Maybe they use football for education and realize they didn't want to do either one anymore. So it's one of those that in my opinion, I wonder if they have that much of a, you know, if they match that transfer percentage, will it kind of destabilize the mode or hurt the fun factor if that stability is gone? Conversely, though, could it also, if you have that many people moving around, could it help the non-traditional programs, you know, get some of that talent to be more competitive? It's just one of those things that I don't know how that would play out. But JB, what are your thoughts, especially seeing and hearing some of those numbers from Rivals, NCAA? The NCAA also has a website. You can go look at percentage breakdown, and it's a link to our article at the Gaming Tailgate. What are your thoughts? Because there's a lot of players who enter, and there's also a lot who just, for lack of a better term, disappear.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to probably be hard to replicate. It's probably going to be hard to just remove a player as well. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of wondering if all players are going to find some sort of school, at least in the first year. And it's hard for, when you're simming something like this, it's hard to completely match real life. And so right. I don't know if they're going to exactly get what they're looking for here, to match the numbers. It'll be interesting to see, but there's a lot of variables, and to get that to match real life is almost, I bet, would be impossible on a video game.
And I'm not even sure they would want it to, in a way. I'm concerned. I think it would, just spitballing off the top of my head, I think it'd almost be better if they were under the percentage. And it wouldn't shock me if these were things that they could fine tune, you know, post launch through updates. Yeah. Then you can basically say, okay, percent likelihood of leaving, we could bump that up a little bit. The number of players leave, maybe we could bump that up a little bit. I would think that they would leave a lot of this to be updated server side post release. But again, we're making a lot of assumptions because we have no clue how recruiting or the portal is going to work in college football this year. Probably the biggest concern, and in the article we mentioned has two different points, so they're probably kind of the same point. One, the computer must be proficient at filling needs to stay competitive. They've got to be able to land players out of the portal as well. And also, there's got to be some way to slow users from creating super teams. I know USC did, you know, especially offensively, did it this offseason, you know, put together a great offense in the portal. But most teams don't do that. I mean, that's pretty rare to have, you know, to get, you know, a top 5 or 10 quarterback, the number one wide receiver in the portal in 1 year. I don't know that we'll see that again. I mean, there's just so much going on here that, you know, do players look at your existing roster before they perhaps sign with you? Do recruits take notice that if you sign a lot of players out of the portal, maybe they don't want to come to your school because they think, well, I'm just going to get replaced. I mean, there's just so many different things that could be done to, you know, speed bump this, to slow it down. But I think those are the two big concerns, making the computer effective at landing players out of the portal and slow users from creating super teams. Are those some of your concerns you have, JB? And if not, what concerns do you have?
Yeah, that's probably going to be the biggest concern, is people exploiting the system. Obviously, if you've got a good school and a prestigious head coach, maybe those are two things that make it very likely and easy to land some people. But, you know, it would be nice to see the game recognize who you've got, who you're recruiting, and add those into the factors of difficulty for the transfer portal. I just don't feel confident that EA is going to implement something like that, at least especially year one. Mm-hmm. So I really do worry that there's going to be a way to exploit it. But again, hopefully, if there's a way to exploit it, hopefully there's a way to fix it via either a server side fix or on a patch, because there's just so many variables. So there's going to be a way to do it. And it's just, is there going to be a way to fix that?
And so that's the thing. NCAA Football 14 and in previous versions, it was always fun to land that coveted recruit and see them move up the depth chart. I mean, granted, some players came in and played right away, but a lot of times they would be a backup, get some playing time. Then by year two, three, and especially four, they would, you know, be the starter. Like, you'd get to see their rise. Whereas now with the portal, theoretically, if it's, you know, can be abused, which people are going to try to find a way. They're going to spend a lot of time. You know, it kind of erases that if you know, if your roster from year to year changes so much in the game, and if a guy can all of a sudden have a super team overnight. You know,
if they can implement outside factors to prevent those things, then that's going to be great. I just don't feel confident, especially in year one, that that's going to work, because
there's so many moving parts right now. Yeah. I mean, not to get off topic, but we still don't know if the named rosters are going to be in. It sounds like they're working their darndest to get it to happen, but still, we don't know. There's some programs that will not sign on until there's named rosters, so that we still don't know what teams are going to be in the game. I mean, there's just so many things. And obviously, you talk about rule changes, with the portal rules still changing. NIL is still changing, even though I don't think it'll be in year one, but still, the rules are changing all the time right now in the sport of college football. The playoffs are still changing. I mean, that's The conferences are changing. There's so many moving parts right now. It is ridiculous that I don't envy the people working on this game right now, because each day, like last week alone, you had the portal window news change, you had the playoff expansion change, and we still don't know the years on some of that stuff. We don't know exactly when the playoffs will get bigger. We don't know exactly when Oklahoma and Texas are going to the SEC. That there are just so many moving parts that it's unreal. It is, year one's going to be interesting, to put it nicely. And the final thing I wanted to bring up, this is kind of a fun feature addition that I've been in the group that personally thought would always be a great addition just for the player, people who wanted to keep track of their recruit history. But it's to remember the top three schools and coaches for each player when they were initially recruited or previously played for. Basically meaning that, starting off, let's say somebody on your roster, JB, you sign John Doe to your roster. When you go look at his player stats, you would also get to see the three schools who were his final three, and perhaps all, you know, his recruit rank, position rank as well. So you remember his history. The way this would tie into the portal now is that maybe it also keeps track of the coaches, provided it has the same system as NCAA Football 14, which is probably a big, bold assumption to take right now. But let's say, for example, the example we use here is Dylan Gabriel. Was at UCF, committed briefly to UCLA in the portal, but we're going to ignore that right now. Then goes to Oklahoma. Why do you pick Oklahoma? Prestigious program, first off. Probably the biggest thing is his offensive coordinator, who was previously at UCF his freshman year, Jeff Lebby, now the OC at Oklahoma. So he had a relationship with him, you know, got him to UCF, good numbers at UCF with him, liked him. He goes to that program. That was kind of his, I don't want to say his in, but, you know, there was a connection there. So it made sense for that transfer portal move. And I think those are the, you know, if they started tracking some of that stuff, I think it would make a lot of sense where some of these portal players end up.
Yeah. And on top of that, it also fixes the last problem we talked about, mm-hmm. about abusing the system, where, you know, players are going to go where they should go. And I think if you add this, if you add some sort of element like this into it, it's automatically going to make that overall transfer portal system better. Just because there's going to be some ways against, you know, hoarding players and things like that, if you implement a history to things.
Yeah, I think that's a good point of view. And I think you probably explained it better than I did, that if there's some logic there, you can't just go in game and flood them with points or whatever the recruiting system is for the portal guys. If there's some logic there, like Gabriel, and maybe there's a lot of guys like this. One the game probably cannot do or will not do, but I think what is funny is that you have Adrian Martinez transfers to K-State. His girlfriend, at least at the time, played soccer at K-State. Keaton Slovis at USC transfers to Pitt. His girlfriend plays soccer at Pitt.
Oh, so we're bringing back the girlfriends.
Yeah, the one feature there's some people said we can't ever bring that back. Don't worry, they're not bringing that back. But I mean, there's logic to some of these decisions. It really wasn't, you know, just flooding of points. And granted, those players looked at the system and it fit, you know, the opportunity fit for both of them. But it is funny that it's some off the field thing that is kind of the, I don't want to say driving factor, but maybe the final factor to get them to those schools.
Yeah. If you got some way to weight the head coach offensive for a coordinator for offensive players, defensive coordinator for defensive players, and also leverage their, where they're from. If you can weight those things, it'll make the transfer portal make sense from an AI perspective.
Yeah. And that's something we kind of briefly talked about, it and we'll throw it in here real quick, is, you know, how will the interest in the portal schools be determined? Is it a push or pull system? Meaning, can I go out and kind of select these players, or do they already have a top three in their mind and it's going to be very tough, if not impossible, to crack that top three? Off the top of our head in the community, some of the top factors for the school interest or the departing could be their home state team. Maybe they just want to go home. Maybe the home state team got good. Wandale Robinson being the example that comes to mind there. A championship contender. Maybe they realize your program is just not good, not winning. They want to go somewhere else. Previously recruited by a school or staff, which is the previous point. Maybe Gabriel saw Lebby go to Oklahoma and said, okay, let's go there. Immediate playing time. If somebody's buried on the roster, and that's a lot of the portal. I think guys just want to play. Mm-hmm. And the final factor, you know, maybe a fresh start. And that may be what Adrian Martinez would qualify under. If you tried to make a game version of that, you know, at Nebraska 4 years, struggled for 4 years, the team especially. Maybe just want a fresh start, go somewhere else. And I think that makes a lot of sense as well.
Yeah, and a lot of that stuff was implemented already in previous iterations of NCAA football. So it's things I think they could easily pull from on the old games and bring it to the new one.
So with that, JB, we're going to end the show. But I do want to ask one thing. Maybe we we need to get back in the regular habit of shows, of course. But, you know, as the season goes on right now, there's rumors and speculation that EA wants to have a current player on the cover of the game, provided it comes out next year. So as of right now, and I know we've only had 1 to 2 games for most teams, one for most, who are some of the leaders in the clubhouse? I think Bryce Young is the leader in the clubhouse, but I don't think there's been a lot of huge breakout performances quite yet. I mean, there's a lot of good games, but I don't think there's been a ton of breakout performances to get a short list yet of, you know, 4 to 5 or 10 guys who might be in consideration.
Yeah, it'll probably be once the conference play really kicks in is when we'll have a good idea of who's leading that Heisman race. And basically that's going to be your barometer of who is going to be on the cover. And also on top of that, now that the NIL deals are in there, who's marketable?
Right.
It's not just who's on top. It's who's marketable out of those guys.
Yeah.
Looking into the past, you know, you had guys like that were on the cover before, a guy like RG3, he was a marketable guy.
Yep.
And had a bright future in the NFL before it kind of got cut short. So, you know, those are going to be a couple of different factors. And, but yeah, I feel like a current college player is going to be on the cover of the return game.
Yeah. I don't think we've, you know, throughout the years past, it's always, what's this player's Heisman moment? Do you think we might get to a point where it's, what was this player's, you know, EA Sports College Football cover moment? What was their cover moment? I don't think we've had that yet. I mean, usually a lot of times in years past, the week one will have some player off the radar who maybe players people didn't know of or, you know, didn't know much about, and they just have a huge monster game. I don't feel like anybody really had a huge monster game out of nowhere in week one or, you know, week zero or one.
No.
So great games, you know, Notre Dame, Ohio State was a good game. LSU, Florida State was a great game, but I don't feel anybody really jumped off the page. So that's why, you know, if you had asked me after week one, who's the leader, it's probably Bryce Young, but it's by default. You know, they blew out Utah State, who is no shock.
Yeah. And plus, you know, you never know that it may not be a current college. It may be a senior leaving too. It may be still that most marketable player might be a senior leaving for the pros.
That is true.
However, the door is now open for a junior or a sophomore to get on the cover.
Yeah. I'd say that's the thing. I'm waiting for somebody to, if a player is smart, we get toward the later stages of the year, you know, somebody gets in that Heisman discussion, they'll be talking about, hey, I want to be on that cover. Who's going to be the first player who has the courage to come out and say that? Because that's going to bring a lot of attention to them. But I'm sure EA Sports would eat that up. They would love that, to have a current player who's a star player, an All-American player, come out and say, I want on there.
Put me on the cover. Yep.
Yep. Yep. All right. With that, that's tonight's show. Anybody, make sure everybody, thank you for watching and listening. Make sure you visit thegamingtailgate.com, and we'll catch you next time. Thank you, JB.